Good morning. It helps if you turn on the microphone. It's time for the plant rant, and she's here, Sandra the Plant Lady.
Morning, yes, Sandra. And of course, we'd like to thank Baker Orchard for supporting the plant rant this morning. So, yay, it's almost the equinox, folks.
Oh, that's
right.
There.
March 20th, so less than 3 weeks now.
Yeah, getting close.
We'll have 12 hours of light.
Wouldn't it be nice if it was warm?
Well, it'll come. It'll get there.
You think so?
I mean, unless we're moving into the next ice age, which personally I wouldn't blame Mother Nature if that's what happened. I mean, she really puts up with a lot from us. Let's be real, you know. So.
Exactly.
So, yeah, it'll warm up more than likely.
Eventually. And in the meantime, we just live with what we've got.
Well, yeah. We've had some great sunny days. We've had some good warm days.
Yeah. We just could get rid of some of this snow. But just imagine what that's going to be when that all melts, because there's no frost in the ground to speak of.
Right.
Maybe we can replenish the water table a little
bit. Well, I'm curious to see, you know, typically for our plants, we want them to be frozen during the winter. I mean, typically you want it to freeze, and then you add your extra mulch, and that snow is the best insulating layer that there is. So I'm really, I'll be curious to observe how that affects, if it does, the plants. And then if it gets really wet, is it, you know, I mean, root rot is probably one of the, you know, that's the word. You can't come back from rotting roots. You can come back from drought, at stress, and things like that.
All that stuff,
when the roots are rotten, then the plants are kind of, so it'll be interesting to observe and see.
For sure. So what are you observing? Because you always have a calendar you want to talk about.
I do. So tomorrow is Silver Creek Herbal's herb drying and tincture making class, and that's at New Beginnings Healing Center. I don't know if that class is full or if she still has space, but I definitely want to make that announcement for Lisa for Silver Creek Herbals, and you can either register online at silvercreeksprings.com or in person at Silver Creek Herbals, which is 2 miles east of Turtle Lake on Highway 8. And let's see, the equinox, which I already mentioned, that's on my community calendar because it's a pretty big deal.
Because it affects the community.
And then I'm, so let's see, I'm trying to do this in order. April 1st is from 8 to 5 is Morley Maple Farm, the open house there. And that is at the Maple Farm where all the trees are getting tapped. I think that address is 141 West Avenue Luck. And they also have a shop, which is in downtown Luck.
Oh.
And that's, and then the phone number there, 715-554-2301. But that Maple Farm tour, those are always just
fun
to go to and to see everything and meet the owners and
the people who do all the work with.
Yeah, and it is a lot of work.
It is.
And on April 7th, so I'm actually making my own announcements. I'm feeling pretty excited.
Oh.
So April 7th, the guests on Plant Rant, I will have a mother and daughter who have a cut flower farm in Amory.
Oh.
Called One Wildflower Farm, and they So they do floral, mainly weddings.
Oh, okay.
And they've been growing now more and more of their own cut flowers.
Ooh.
So I'm really excited to talk to them. I had actually seen something on Facebook and reached out, and then they went and listened to Plant Rant Archives, which, good reminder, WPCARadio.org. Feel free to check out archives. We have the first year is missing, but the last almost four
that
are on.
Already,
there will be 5
huh?
years in June. When Isn't we have that? Our 20th anniversary,
yeah.
It'll be the 5th anniversary for Plant Rant.
Wow.
So
how about that?
It's going to be great.
Yeah. 20 years and 5 years. I mean, what? It don't get any better.
That means
that.
I was here for a quarter of the time, actually. That's kind
there
of exciting.
You go. See, yeah.
So I'm excited about them, and that'll be something new to talk about. And then May 5th on Plant Rant, so the first Friday of the month at 9, Wilderness and Wellness. So this is a gal who takes people out into the woods and does meditations and different out. She had been an outdoor educator, very much into, you know, more kind of holistic healing and So I think she'll be an interesting guest to have on.
Meditation?
Yeah.
Does that mean you just sit quietly and shut up and
Well, meditate? I suppose some of it's guided. I know she does some forest bathing too, which I think is more of that, just sitting in the woods, within the woods. And we'll find out more on May 5th. We'll be able to find out.
By that time, we'll be able to sit in the woods.
Yeah. Let's hope so. And it's Cinco de Mayo, so, you know, don't be surprised if we show up with margaritas that morning. We'll start, Cinco de Mayo outright. You've been warned. Let's see. So, speaking of Morley's maple syrup, John was supposed to be my guest this morning, and I have not seen him yet, so I'm having faith.
Oh, he'll show up.
He still comes. So again, thank you, Baker Orchard, for supporting. And actually, that's how I know John, is through the art festival at the Baker Orchard, which is always the fourth weekend in September, not the last, because sometimes there's a fifth weekend.
Yeah, there is.
So the fourth weekend of September. And so John and I met there. He would set up every year, and he's just super fun, really happy person, fun to be around. And one of the things that, he does a lot of unique things, but he, at the art festival, does maple cotton candy, and he makes it right there.
No kidding.
Oh, so good. And then he does a maple sugar. Well, there's a food vending truck that does mini donuts, and so for festival weekend, they do cider donuts with the Baker Orchard cider.
Of course.
And then if you want to pay, I don't know, a dollar more or something, you can get your cider donuts with Morley's maple sugar on them.
Whoa.
And I'm not a huge sweets person, but I do enjoy mini donuts, and those maple sugar cider donuts are so good. Yeah. So he does like a maple cream, and then he's been working too with 45th Parallel and getting the bourbon barrels.
Yep.
And then I think now it's gone both ways. I feel like 45th Parallel is used, like, then they're getting, okay, so he's going to get the bourbon cask, put the syrup in there. Now when he bottles the syrup, 45th Parallel, is my understanding, is getting those back that have had the syrup in them, and then they're putting some more some spirits into that to get the maple, you know, to make, say, a maple bourbon or something. Taste. So it's just fun, and I'd love to get them. I need to bug the gentleman again, because I was bugging him for quite a while to get on the air with me, because I think having the distillery on
would be fun,
because they are distilling plants. I mean, it's all plants. Deer Lake Gardens grows, like, you know, 400 pounds of dill for them every year that gets harvested and then used for dill aquavit. Mm. And they have a contractor, contracted out with like a specific farm to grow a specific rye for their bourbon. So, I mean, they're very particular about where their plant material is coming from and, you know, supporting community. And so I would love to have them on as well. I think
it very would just be interesting,
super fun,
and
plant related. I mean, it's just amazing with plants, because it's I don't think people realize, like, so much of our, so many things we enjoy
people
without
don't
plants
realize
we wouldn't
how
have.
Important plants are, and it doesn't matter what plant it is, they're all important,
right?
Even the weeds.
Well, as you know, we've had Lisa on three times now, and there's so many things that burdock or, you know, all these things. And I always thought it was the root, but when she was on that first time and we talked about the fact that using the seed, can you imagine harvesting those burry thistle like?
No, I mean, I can't imagine doing that.
You know, and thanks to burdock, we have Velcro. Because the person who invented Velcro looked at that barb of the burdock, and you know how they grab a hold of you.
Yes, they do.
If you have long hair, let me tell you, you back into one of those suckers, and if it's by your scalp, it's some work
to get out of it.
Some of Anthony's friends were over last summer, and they got in, and oh my gosh, we're just pick, trying to get the burdock out of it.
You got a day's work right there.
You know, pretty much.
Yeah.
yeah. pretty much.
So what do you know about Morley's, how many trees does he tap? Do you have
You know,
idea?
I was looking, so I looked at his website, and I feel like it said around like 8,000, I want to say. Can that be right? I mean, I guess
holy
I have
cow.
Access
well, it could
right
be.
Here,
it depends
so.
On how big his place is.
And I have not been to his farm, so I know where his shop is right.
Yeah.
In
right
town
in
right Luck.
In Luck, yeah.
And he supplies, you know, all the bottling equipment, the spiles. Like if you were to want to harvest at your own property, he has the supplies.
So you can do that.
To do that. So you could do your own stuff at home. So if you, or you can buy his syrup. And sure. like I said, he's super creative with all the different products that he
sure.
offers. And I'm going to look this up because I feel like I did read that this morning that
well, you know,
it is.
The fact
like
that he
8,
has
000.
All that stuff to tap trees with reminds me of when I was a little kid. Years and years ago, my folks and an uncle. And his family used to tap trees on my grandpa's place. And back in that day, you put the little, what do they
it's
call
spile.
It? Spout, a spile.
Spile,
okay.
mm-hmm.
You put that in by yourself. It wasn't, they didn't connect to anything. They hung a bucket under it. And then ever so often, a couple times a day, you went out and dumped the buckets into a big thing and took it back and cooked it down.
Well, and a lot of people still do it that way.
They
so,
do, huh?
I know several people, and now some folks have switched to bags. You'll see,
oh, sure.
and I'm sure you've noticed those blue bags
yeah.
when you go down. And part of that is the bucket has such a big opening for more bugs and things to get.
Sure.
And the bags, they're light, they're easy to
yeah.
bring, you know. So
yeah, and it pretty much doesn't allow much extraneous material to get into it, which is nice. Because that was a problem. I remember even as a little kid when they would collect the buckets and you know, little twigs and things would fall off and get into there. So then you had to peel that all off and then cook it down. But I remember they used to cook 24 hours a day for a while and made a lot of syrup.
So that 8,000 that I said, so it's over 8,000 taps. And sometimes you'll put, you know, more than one spile in a tree. So they're 2 miles east of the village of Luck, and it's John and his wife, Crystal, and now they're children, 4 children. So, but they started with just 350 taps collected in pails, just like you said, just as it was done 100 years ago.
Yeah.
And then as the family grew, the taps grew, and so now they have over 8,000 taps. And it sounds like the family members and friends are all out helping. But you're right about that cooking because, you know, it's like 40 gallons of sap
to make
1 gallon of
maple
syrup.
Maple syrup, yep.
Can you imagine?
It's a cooking job. And part of that, of course, is knowing how to do that because you can burn it quite easily, as I understand it. I don't know that. I just remember my folks being concerned about not getting the fire too hot and leaving it untouched too long. But I don't know any more than that because it's a long time ago.
Right.
Long time. But I remember collecting because back in that day, they didn't have all the modern conveniences so that when they went out, they had a big tank that they had on what they called a stone boat. Actually, it was nothing more than a sled on runners. And with horses.
So if it was
and
winter
so
out,
the
still, right?
Out.
Snow and
yeah, exactly. Took the horses out and went down, and it was all very wet, low area below the ridge where the maple was. So you'd have to get through that, and it was great fun for a little kid.
That sounds
I was
amazing,
6 or 7
Bob.
Years old, you know, it was incredible to live through as a kid. It was great.
Thank you for sharing that memory with us, because that is so...
It was fun.
That is a beautiful... So horse-drawn.
Horse-drawn.
And now, and are you're dumping the buckets into what the horses are pulling as you go?
Take it off the tree, dump it in that tank, and then when you got all done, when you've collected the trees, then you go back, and they had a tap out of the bottom of it.
So there was a spout on it.
Run it into the cooking.
Right.
Which sat, and they had... concrete block that they had made the fire pit out of, and then this big tank, which was about maybe 3-4 inches deep.
Yep, typically stainless steel, so you can cooking it, or maybe cast back then, probably cast iron or something.
It was just plain old tin, I think.
Sure.
But in any case, it sat on that, and then they kept the fire burning, and one person spent the whole time just going out and because they burned all the fells, trees, and the twigs. They burned anything that would burn.
Because you were wood firing for the cooking. Yes.
And you just had to do that 24/7.
And then was there a sugar shack where you were inside, or was it outside?
It was outside.
Okay.
It was outside.
So if the weather, depending on how the weather was, you'd be
didn't matter, you
sitting
were out there
anyway. And bundled or in an umbrella or whatever.
And they had a little... I suppose you could call it a shack. It was nothing more than just keep the snow off if it did snow or rain, because it did that sometimes when they tapped.
And, so more of just an overhang.
Yeah,
type?
Just an overhang kind of thing, and hung between a couple of trees on a 2x4. You know, that was tapped on there, and they just hung this off of it just for a little shelter.
Right.
But then you were busy most of the time because you had to keep an eye on the fire, and you had to do what you had to do with the the tray that had the syrup in it cooking down, the
evaporator,
sap in it cooking
right?
Down. Evaporator, yeah. It's an evaporator pan is what it was, because they didn't do all, they didn't have anything fancy. It was as simple as it could possibly be made and as cheap. And but man, I can remember that stuff. And then they made, I don't know what they did here, but they made maple syrup candy.
Yes, when it gets those, like, it's like rock candy.
Yeah, oh yeah.
I've had syrup that's turned to that before, that I've gotten from friends and things, and oh man, that maple candy good stuff, is good. Yeah. I know. Might break your teeth, but oh, it's worth it.
Yeah, it is. The taste is just unlike anything else, really.
Well, and isn't it, again, like this gift from nature? And then thank you, Native Americans, because who would think to do this in the first place.
Yeah.
So I have two comments. So I'm going to make a note here so I don't forget my other thing, but I have a question. So as a little kid, then with this maple syruping going on, and tell me whose farm it was again?
It was my grandparents.
Grandparents. Okay.
My dad's parents.
And then did you get to stay up late then on those nights? Like,
only
did you
as
get...
late as I could stay awake.
Right. Okay.
Because you'd sit there and you'd be nodding. You know, and eventually then they'd haul you off down to Grandma and Grandpa's house.
Sure.
Which wasn't far. We only went to the woods a little ways because they had a huge woods. And I don't know how many trees they tapped or anything. It seemed like a lot because you're going around with the horse-drawn thing to collect the sap. You know, but it seemed like a lot. I don't know if it was because I really don't know how many trees they tapped. But then when I got tired, then they'd haul me down to Grandma's house, and we'd go in, and it'd probably be, maybe 10 o'clock at night, you know, because by that time you just wore out.
Sure.
You've been running in the woods all day.
Right.
It was great fun. And of course, you were always in trouble because you were down in the low area, tromping around.
Getting
and
wet.
Wet, you know.
That's cold, all right.
That's how it was.
Wet,
yeah.
Did you have your bread bags on inside your boots to keep your feet dry?
Exactly. The good old days.
Nothing wrong with bread bags.
Not a thing. Anything they work, to keep you dry.
They work great. So where was Grandma and Grandpa's farm?
Oh, it was 3 miles southwest of Neillsville.
Okay.
In Clark County.
Yeah.
Right on the edge of a lot of county forest, which they never went into that or anything because you couldn't. Because and it's in the area where I used to hunt when Dad and I hunted together, and there's about... In that general area, there is about 240,000 acres of trees, brush. That's where we hunted.
How beautiful!
Oh, it was.
Sounds
amazing. It's still
amazing.
Nice down there, although a lot of that land the county has sold off, and people have built houses in it, and all that kind of stuff. And I hate to see that.
Yes, we need that preserved land.
There was a place down there called Portner's, which was a family that. There's an old town used to be there years ago called Columbia, and some developer in Chicago, and this is way before there was a Bob Zank, but anyway, some developer bought all that land up and then sold it off to people to come and farm it. And anybody who's ever been there, it's very heavy, sandy, not very good soil at all, and those poor folks got took.
Right.
Most of them came, bought a farm, built a house, barns, did all the things you're supposed to do on your farm, and couldn't make a living, and ended up going back to Chicago. So there's a lot of abutments of old places down there that were there.
Well, and that's I love looking at interest. I mean, sad story, but I love exploring properties and old foundations of barns and buildings, and then your imagination just kind of goes.
Yeah.
Like, there's actually a property outside of Amory that you could see. There's still the clotheslines. There's still the barn foundation.
No kidding.
There's still, like, the trees that you could tell were framing the driveway.
Sure.
And I always want to wander around there. And somebody must have bought it now and uses it. And because now there's, like, a little chain where you could maybe have pulled in. And I'm like, dang it. Like, you can see where the lilac bushes are. And my mind just... It just go, like, you're just envisioning what that farm was probably like, and the wife hanging out the clothes on the line and planting these little windbreak trees.
Well, this Portner place that I was telling you about, this guy was quite the entrepreneur at the time, because I forget how big the farm was. It was huge. It was almost a section, I think, which was about 640 acres. But anyway, when he did that, he came up, and he must have had a lot of money, I don't know, because he built a nice house, big barn, raised cattle, but also had apple orchards and grapevines, and there was something else there. I don't remember what that was. And there's still remnants of that. Well, there was the last time I was there.
Yeah, I actually lived at a place. I rented part of a house from someone, and it was new housing, but built on an old orchard. And it was so much fun because there was all these apple trees out in the yard, and you know, when the harvest time came. So it's neat when sometimes that's, you know, and this development has grown somewhat over the years. It's still not a huge, like, housing tract or anything, but to have that. Just
still
the trees there, and getting to go out and fresh pick those.
It's a shame, because this town of Columbia, my sister just rang it in my head. She called and asked about it because she wanted to know if I remembered Columbia. Well, as I remember it, the little town, and it was on a railroad crossing. So there was a railroad that ran through there, Chicago Northwestern at the time. But they built this little town, and as I understood it, and of course, it's long before my time, but at one point, there were about 2,500 people that lived in that general vicinity of the town. And there was a school, a big building. And I remember my dad telling that he and his brothers used to run there from where their farm was to Columbia was about, probably 4 or 5 miles. And they used to run there on a Sunday because it was one big room in the school, and they were allowed to go in there and play basketball.
Oh, cool.
And by the time I saw this building, the only thing left was the basement wall that had not fallen down yet. But right down the road from it, right on a creek, was a creamery that operated at the time. But all that stuff, pieces of it, little remnants of it, are still there. And she wanted to know, because just down the road from that, there was a grave site.
Ooh, yeah.
And there was a time when there was I think it was diphtheria, but I'm not sure.
So wiped out a whole bunch.
But she, and this little girl died, and they buried her there. And they still take care of that grave.
Mm.
And it's probably
been
there for 80, 90 years.
Is there anyone else there, or just the girl?
No, just the little girl.
Oh, wow.
The township keeps it mowed a little bit, and they got a little fence built around the grave site. And Blanche, I don't know what the last name was. All I could read on the little thing that they had there was Blanche something. And it said how old, but I think she was like 4 or 5 years old.
That is nice. That's interesting. I actually have a friend who was like doing her own genealogy stuff and was visiting old farms or properties where her family's, you know, because we used to just bury people on the farm. And
right,
so she's done all kinds of exploring and, you know, because some of them aren't maintained like that. So that's beautiful. Even old cemeteries, I love going through. And when I was a kid, I was totally fascinated by anybody who was born at the turn of the century. So if it was 1800 something, well, then I realized I'm born at the turn of the century. So someday, I don't know if I'll have a grave marker or not, but someday it'll be like, wow, she was around in the late 1900s and moved into the next century. You know, like, I just always thought it was fascinating, never realizing until I was an adult that, wait, that's me and a century later. So, you know, and we're really lucky here in Polk County. The Historical Society's done a really good job. Like, you talk about, I mean, we've got all these signs where this was a school and this was a post office, and it makes you realize, like, we had all these little communities that built up enough where they needed a school or had a post office. And, I, you know, those things are gone now. But even like Wanderoos has a lot of cool history with the creamery and the railroad being there.
Joel, or You Bet.
Yeah, You Bet.
Or places like that.
Well, and Wanderoos is kind of a joke. Like, it was called Dwight. And then there was another Dwight.
Oh.
And so then they did like a naming contest, and someone like sent Wanderoos as like kind of like a joke, and then it stuck and it became so looking at, and then there was these fires that took stuff. So and my son's actually the one who got me into this, looking into researching the history of Wanderoos, and it's very intriguing and interesting. Yeah, and there's some mysteries around it too, and
even
stuff. And
today,
it's just really
it's
fun.
An interesting place. Even without the history, it's still an interesting place.
Yeah.
But, and especially, I guess, the UW Wanderoos. I understand that's a good place to eat.
It's
never been
very
there.
Good. Their food is very good there. And then they have some things. I've not had the ribs, and there was one day I was there on a Wednesday, which is the rib night, and I thought it was Thursday. Then after I saw the ribs, I'm like, oh, dang it. But they have, I mean, even just their burgers are great, but they're known for their ribs and fish. They do like a sunfish thing. Oh, and it's you know, and people are super friendly there, and the food's good. But anyway, this isn't a promo about Wanderoos, but just checking out our history. We kind of took
plant
rant, folks.
We took a left
turn
here in absence of our guest.
Back to the, didn't even notice. Back to the maple, though. You know, talking about how did people even figure out to tap the trees. But so last year, you know, there was some cut maple in the little woods by my house, and sap had started to run, and then it had froze, and there was like an icicle hanging off. Well, we decided to try that icicle, and it was a maple, a sapsicle, I guess, and it was really good. So, who knows? Maybe someone had a broken branch, they sucked in the ice, and like, wow, this tastes good. I mean, it just makes you wonder, so.
It does. And then now, it's kind of a big thing. There are people who make a living just doing maple syrup, maple sap, turns to syrup, and then candies and all that other
stuff. Well, yeah, like Morley. So if you're interested, there's a website, there's a Facebook page. On our Facebook, I have the link to, I did at Morley's Maple Syrup, so I'm not sure if, I think it brings you to the Facebook. I didn't click on it, but I know that you can get it through our Facebook page. And 715-554-2301 if you want to reach out to John to get some supplies. And their open house is April 1st, which is a Saturday, from 8 to 5 at 141 West Avenue in Luck. And it's about 2 miles outside of town. And again, thanks, Baker Orchard.
Yeah.
And that's how I met John, so that's even better.
There you go. So that's the plant rant for today. We got to rant on about history more than we did maple syrup.
It
but
was
at
all
least we know
connected.
Where that is.
It was it all is. Connected, though.
Everything's connected.
And I loved hearing you getting to share those memories of your grandparents' farm.
I haven't thought about a lot of that for years, but my sister made the call about that little girl's grave I was telling you about, and then that sets you to thinking. You know, and I haven't been down there for years, but the next time I go down to see my sister, hopefully it'll be in decent weather. And we can go out there and see if there's any of the remnants of Columbia left.
And then your grandparents' farm, what's
that? Oh, yeah, well, that got sold.
Okay.
It's gone over the years.
Sure.
Which is too bad, because it was kind of the neat place, too. But it kind of went downhill, and I must have been about maybe 10 years old. And I think it was after the war. But anyway, they had a huge barn. It was about 120 feet long, and they raised a lot of cattle. Anyway, it caught fire.
Oh.
And burned to the ground. And the farm was never the same after that.
Right.
But that most of the kids went away because they had to go make a living somewhere.
Sure.
But anyway, history is over.
Well, thanks, everyone. Hopefully next month my guests will be
we'll show up.
One, yeah. One wildflower farm. And then the following, wilderness and wellness. So I hope you all still enjoyed the show and found some interesting things about maple syrup with Bob and I and a little bit of history. So
maybe they'll even have to drive to Neillsville and see Blanche's grave.
And Neillsville has a really great veterans memorial there as well. So phenomenal.
Place. Phenomenal. If you haven't been there, you have to go because it does in the spades what memorials are supposed to do.
Right.
Because if you go there and are not moved, you don't have a heart.
You're giving me the chills just talking about just this conversation. Just
there?
Gave me the willies.
You need to go so. There. It is fabulous. Anyway.
All right.
Thanks. And thanks to Baker Orchard for the plant rand and Sandra, the plant lady.